Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest in part two of our conversation, Mark Purdy, who recently retired from the Bay Area News Group. But before we talk to Mark, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with Mark Purdy. All right, let's talk about your career. Long career
really?
Goes back to the 80s. Yes. Well, I mean, you mentioned the changes in baseball earlier, and there are changes in all sports and even in journalism. So tell us how you were able to roll with the changes throughout your career, which, you know, like I said, spans all the way back to the 80s there at the San Jose Mercury News.
Yeah, 80s at the Mercury News and 70s, you know, back in the Cincinnati Enquirer, where like the first baseball team I really was around was the big red machine of the Cincinnati Reds in the 70s, which was, you know, that 1976 team probably still the best team I've ever been around. How was I able to do? I don't know, Joe. You just, like everybody else does at every job, you know, you show up every day and do the best you can. You know, there have been a lot of, I started writing on a typewriter and then, you know, and then we went to a telebubble or a telerama or then a trash 80 and then went through all these different iterations of keyboards and computers and laptops and whatever. Whatever they give you, you make it work. That, it's as simple as that. In terms of the way the game is covered, look, you can't control it, so you can, and so no whining, no complaining. But it was more, in the old days, there were the access was better. Baseball has retained pretty good access compared to the other sports. But, for example, I cited this in one of the kind of, they had me do a bunch of columns. I just wanted to, I made up my mind about this in the spring, and I said, I'd just like to write one column, maybe sometime in June, explaining I'm going to leave and here's why, and then write a farewell column, the last column, whatever that is. But my boss, Bud Geraci, said, you know, with all your time here, he thought readers might like if I did like a series of columns about my best interviews or my most interesting interviews, the most compelling athletes, my best and worst assignments.
It was great. That was great. Yeah, well, it was like a farewell tour.
I thought that would be a little too much, but Bud talked me into it. My boss, Bud Geraci, talked me into it. And, I'm glad he did because it got a good response. I still think maybe it was might have been a little too much, but what it forced me to do in my job, I was always thinking, hey, I got to worry about the next column. What's the next topic? And frankly, now that I'm you know, left, that's the weirdest part. I don't have to worry about what my next topic is going to be, right?
Right.
Because it's always with you, even when you're on vacation. I got to write a column when I come back. What am I going to write about? I was mentioning this in one of those look back columns about how things, you know, memories and things have changed, and it used to be, Joe, before you would show up at the ballpark and you'd go into the manager's office and the manager would be there and you just walk in and sit down and have a discussion with him, or there would be a time, you know, like if he didn't want to do that, the door was shut. If the door was open, it was understood 2 or 3 hours before the game. If you got there, you go in and sit down, pretty much ask whoever wanted, whether it was Sparky Anderson or When John McNamara, when later on went to Reds when I was there, Roger Craig, Dusty Baker, all these different managers, Tony La Russa over on the other side of the bay. And you would go in and sit on the couch there in his office or the chair across from him, and, you know, maybe for 10, 15 minutes, sometimes longer, you would be able to talk and, you know, what happened last night, what about tonight, what's going on here, and you could really have a professional dialogue that was, you learned a lot. Now, that doesn't happen anymore. Now, because, and then after the game, you would be in the manager's office, and you'd learn a lot that way, too. The situation was pretty informal. Well, now, because teams are tied in with regional sports networks like NBC Sports Bay Area here, everything is televised, which means that the access is now pretty much controlled to Bruce Bochy. Doesn't like, and I understand this, didn't like, you know, having the TV cameras in his office, so he does his pregame in the dugout, and then the postgame in a room adjacent to the clubhouse, in a very controlled situation where, you know, to ask a question, you got to have a microphone. Now the writers are part of the show, which I also don't like, but in other words, that kind of back and forth that characterized my first 20 years or 35 years in the business isn't there anymore. And that really, that's too bad. I mean, yes, I can get Bruce Bochy maybe away aside for a couple questions away from that, but just that dynamic just isn't there anymore. Likewise, baseball clubhouses, used to be, players would be in there before the game, and you could have back and forth, and sometimes they'd be mad at you and not like your questions, and that's okay, too. Well, you know, you have a man-to-man discussion about it, and whatever happens, happens. Well, now the new ballparks have rooms where the players can go hide. You know, they have lounges, they have these big training rooms, facilities, you know, used to be there was kind of nowhere else for the ball players to go, so they'd have to be in the clubhouse.
Yeah, they're never at their lockers now.
Right, and so that's too bad, too, for readers, really, because, and I think it's bad for the players, too. I think that when you're around the players more, you understand more about them, why they do things, how they do their business, and I think you come to respect them more. If they're not there, you kind of wonder, well, you can kind of, it's like an empty vessel. Like you fill it up like, well, he must think this, or he's got it. Well, not necessarily. You want to know it. And so that's too bad. I really believe that's too bad for the players and for the fans who and for journalists who are trying to communicate with fans about what's really happening and give your opinions and analysis. But you roll with it, you do the best you can, and I think that's what I tried to do, and you try to work around that, and you try to find a way to, still come up with interesting stuff. And most players, the funny part is, if you what happens now is, you know this. So if I wanted to ask Buster Posey a question, well, where's Buster? Well, he's back in there. He's getting treatment. He's going, you know. Well, so you talk to one of the Giants' public relations employees and say, well, could you get Buster to come out here? I'd just like to ask him a couple questions. Okay, I'll try. I'll go in, and sometimes Buster wants to, and sometimes he doesn't. And you make it work. But invariably, when you do. When they do decide to, when they do agree to some questions, it's interesting if you ask the right questions, and I just wish there were more of it, because I think it helps everybody. It helps baseball now. It's controlled, and I think is one reason baseball. It's become more and more of a regional sport, not as much a national sport, because it's hard to, maybe I'm tying too much into this, it's hard to develop people's personalities when the personalities aren't around to develop.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then I wondered, when you go back in the different eras of San Francisco Giants baseball, how much you enjoyed the different characters that were there, because you mentioned Roger Craig and the Hum Baby Giants, and then there were the Barry Bonds Giants, and he didn't always get along with Jeff Kent, and they made the World Series, and then it was more about Barry Bonds and his home run record, and then it became about winning World Series and this team, which maybe doesn't have as many controversies involved. So I just wondered how much you enjoyed each one of the eras that existed while you were covering the team.
Well, I enjoyed it all, Joe. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, it was a great job to have. And if guys were, look, Candy Maldonado once threatened me. That was okay. I mean,
why did he threaten you? Was that after he lost the Baltimore Whites? In 87?
This is in 87. They were getting ready to play the Cubs in the playoffs. And so I wrote this column about, Chicago Cubs, here's a guide to Candlestick Park. I know you come here in the regular season, but it's different now with this team, and you get the more intense Candlestick experience. So here's a tour of the park. Here's I forget exactly what each part. Candlestick was such a awful, weird place, So one of the tour stops was right field, where there were skid marks out there, because Candy Maldonado, if you remember, had this habit. He would like dive after balls he had no chance of getting, just to make it look good, And so I just wrote, those skid marks are Candy Maldonado diving for balls he can't get. But I forget what else I said, but that was principally that particular paragraph of the column. So the next day I showed up at the ballpark, and Candy is all over me like, stink on crap. And, why do you write that stuff about me? And I never take a step backwards, but you're like, holy crap, this guy's really mad. and he's not yelling, but loud voice and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, Candy. I'm going like, hey, let's talk. So he's backing me up, and the door to Roger Craig's office opens. He goes, hey, what's going on here? What's going on here? What are you doing with one of our writers? What are you doing? And Kane goes, this guy wrote shit, blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, you guys, get in here and settle this. I don't want the door shut behind me. And I said, well, we can talk about it here. We can talk about it out here. But what's the deal? Just, calm down. What exactly did I write that, upset you? And he goes like, well, I didn't read it, but Will told me that blah, 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 blah,
oh,
blah.
No.
And I look over, and in the corner here's Will Clark. Will's going, hee, hee, hee,
troublemaker.
Like, oh, thanks, Will. And, so it turned out I think it turned out that Will got him, twisted his chain about it. And then when that happened, other guys read it or whatever. And then, according to Candy, his family was embarrassed by this and all that. And I said, look, Candy, I said, I have two rules. I'm happy to talk about anything I've written, eye to eye, face to face, man to man, or man to woman, or whatever, if it's a woman athlete. But the second rule is you got to read it first, right? And I said, so you go back and read it, and if you, we can talk about that, but, please calm down. My face is worth a lot less than your fist, so I don't think you want to do that. And and you just try to make light. And he was really steamed. But then he said, "Okay, let's sit down and talk." I said, "Okay, fine. Let's find a place." So we sat, and he explained that he's a proud guy. He tries to take his fielding seriously. Blah blah blah. And we had a good talk. And I said, "Well, look, I didn't realize this would hurt you." I said, "I know guys in here tease you about that all the time, so I didn't think you would." Take it this hard. Obviously, it was, meant and fun, and that's a part of your playing personality. But I'm sorry if it upset you. And we talked it out. But that's an example of kind of what I was mentioning earlier about, the access in the clubhouse was different. I don't know today if that played out. If the Candy were playing today, he might just simmer back in one of those private rooms where the Giants can go, And then I don't think he'd ever punch me, but
you'd be safer today.
But to me, it was a good professional dialogue. You know what I'm saying? So even that, yeah, that day, I certainly enjoyed in a way. You know, I mean, because I learned a lot about, I learned something about the guy, and we had a fine relationship after that. And Will Clark was always still trying to create crap, and that's okay too. You know, Will and I got along okay. You know, it's just part of the, you know, you better be ready for it. You better buckle down and be ready for it when you go into the clubhouse. That's part of the package, but that's okay. So I, you know, the personalities in that room, and Barry Bonds, my relationship with him was the same as he had with other writers. You know, he didn't have much use for us, but you know what? If that's the way he is. And I think I told him once, you know, look, I get paid the same whether you answer my questions or whether you tell me to perform an unnatural act. I mean, I get paid the same. So, you know, if you don't want to talk someday, that's okay. But then, well, that's a whole other deep dive. The whole Barry Bonds thing, you know, he was a really interesting, different guy. And there are still some things I don't quite understand about him. Other things I do, but that was interesting too. I mean, it was, you got to have a thick skin in my business. So that's okay. And there were some really interesting personalities in that clubhouse coming through the years. I mean, remember Caveman, Don Robinson?
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What a character that guy was. Steve Bedrosian. Some of these, going back all the Moonman Mitten.
Moonman Mitten, best remember nickname, him? Right? Yeah.
And then, you know, really fascinating people and kind of remarkable people like Dave Dravecki and, Terry Kennedy. Somebody, his name came up the other day, and I was remembering him, how helpful he was in explaining things at times. We could go down the list. I mean, you're there as a professional to try to learn stuff that will help your readers understand what's going on out in the field. And you're not there to be their buddies. Sometimes you develop a relationship that's, you know, more than just Q&A, but that's not really what you're there for, you know. And it's really a professional relationship, and all you really want is people to give honest answers, or as honest as they can. And I was fortunate over the years, I had good role models as I came up through the business about how to do that, about how to develop those kinds of relationships, and so it was all good.
More with Mark Purdy in just a moment. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Towns End Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Towns End, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. Your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Towns End also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Towns End has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Towns End is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Towns End Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too. Well, one of my favorite moments from this season was your last game there at AT&T Park, and what the guys did on NBC Sports Bay Area with Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper, a nice little tribute. And, you know, you kind of looked up at the monitor. You were a little misty-eyed, I think. I wondered what was going through your mind, right, when you were watching that, because it really was well done.
Well, thanks. I still haven't listened to it. I was working, and
you knew they were focusing on you, yeah.
Yeah, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, look at the monitor. I'm going like, oh, man, what are they saying? You know, I really... Those guys have been aces over the years. Going back to, you know, I'm old enough that I covered them as players. And, you know, both of them were on that 1985 Giants team. Was the worst ever. And they were good guys then, good with the media, and then transitioned and worked. And please know, those guys worked hard to be as good as they are as broadcasters. You know, they didn't just show up and say, "Hey, I'm a former player. Put me on TV." Those guys studied, apprenticed, and worked really hard, and then over the years, been really good when I'd go to them and say, "Hey, you know, I got this idea about this. You're a former player. Tell me what you think." You know, and that could be everything from Hall of Fame voting to maybe a column angle I wanted to work. And so those guys have been great over the years. I guess I'll listen to all that eventually, Joe. But I think I'm afraid I'd be embarrassed about it yet. I mean, the weird part about my job is that part of it is that people are supposed to know who you are because you're a columnist and the paper wants you to be a personality in the paper. But that's really not why I got into the business. And, you know, this thing happened where I came up with the idea from a Covey Cove.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. That's really cool. How did that start?
All right, I'll give you the short version. I almost never talk about it because it's really about Willie McCovey, right? That's what that whole thing's about. It's not about me.
Sure.
But what happened was the ballpark was under construction 1999, and the X Games were being performed or whatever were being staged at Pier 32.
Right.
There, up around the bend on the Embarcadero from the ballpark, where the ballpark was under construction. So my son was 14 years old at the time, and so we went up to the X Games. He was a big X Games fan, and parked in what is now Lot A, and they had shuttle buses running, then running up to the pier, and as the shuttle bus, we're sitting there in the shuttle bus, lumbering over the Lefty O'Dell Bridge, and the ballpark's being built right there, and I'm looking down, and I'm going like, well, you know, the Giants are like, the hype is they're going to be able to hit home runs into the bay here. That's what they're saying. That's not the bay. What is that? That's not the bay. You know, that's just some dumpy little something. And so that was in my head. And when I got home, I looked up the map. It was China Basin Channel was the name of that. And I said, so I'm going to call BS on the Giants next time I write about this. They're going to hit home runs into China Basin Channel.
It needs a better name, right?
Yeah. And, so the next day or the day after, I was at Candlestick, and we were, you know, I was asking, I don't know if it was Larry Bear or somebody about, hey, you know, I rode by the ballpark, and you're doing they announced early on that they were going to do, it was going to be 24 Willie Mays Plaza, they're going to put a statue of Willie Mays there at 3rd and King, and I'm going like, so you do anything for McCovey? Because, you know, he's probably the most, and McCovey's name come up. Oh, I remember what it was. McCovey had gone through this IRS thing, and it was kind of in the news, and he was, and I just, somehow his name came up. I don't know how, at the ballpark, just in a different way, or maybe it was, I started asking questions about, well, what are you going to do to honor McCovey? And nobody really had an answer. And so I was in the lunchroom. Remember the old Curly Grieve room? Are you old enough to remember this?
No.
And I was having lunch, and it was Leonard Coppett and me or something. And it just came to me, like, you know, McCovey, where's McCovey? And then I said, you know, I was riding over this thing yesterday, and that, well, you know, that, you know what? They ought to put McCovey's name on that channel or whatever. They should call that McCovey, you know, channel or McCovey run or McCovey River or something, or McCovey Cove. I mean, it was just this discussion.
One of the names, right?
Yeah. And so I said, you know, so I was saying they should put McCovey's name on that water. And it was, like I said, it was three or four guys. And I said, which do you like? Like McCovey Channel, McCovey Cove, McCovey West? So the green was, oh, McCovey Cove's the best name, but that's a great idea. I said, is it? Because Yeah. And so that was my column that day. You know, that's BS. It's not the Bay. Here's my idea. You should put McCovey's name on that and call it McCovey Cove. So I wrote that, and nothing happened.
Listen to writers, because,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I went to Larry Bear, and then I called up McCovey, or I got a hold of McCovey, and he had seen the first column. And we ended up having lunch at the country club that he belonged to. And I drove out there. And I don't want to share everything about that lunch because it was very special to me. And I just feel, I get emotional talking about it to this day. But I'll paraphrase. It turned out that he thought because of this, I think because of this IRA case that had happened and so forth, that the Giants were kind of I got to be careful here. I think he felt he had been kind of relegated maybe to the background. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And I can say that. And you don't know how guys are going to be. I said, well, is this something that would be okay with you if they name that? Oh, yes. And it was just a very, very great lunch. Let's put it that way. So he gave me some quotes about stuff. And then I went back and talked to J.T. Snow. I guess this is the long version of the story. I'm sorry. J.T. Snow was the first baseman. I said, hey, what do you know about Willie McCovey? Not a lot. He said, not a lot. You know, he knew the name and so forth. And I said, damn, So I wrote another column, and I talked to Larry Bear and said, look, McCovey really, deserves this, and here's how he feels about it. And, your own first baseman doesn't really know a lot about Willie McCovey. This is a chance if you put his name on that body of water. It keeps his name alive, and I just have this vision. And then I started thinking, if Willie were playing, McCovey were playing there, he would hit a lot. He was left, big left-handed batter. He would have hit a lot of balls in that water.
Yeah,
I think,
he would.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, I have this vision of like, so a kid's at the ballpark with his mom or dad and says, why is, McCovey Cove, what is that? And the parent could then explain, well, here's who Willie McCovey was. Here's what he did.
Yeah.
And so, Joe, it just all fit. And I wrote it again. And said, listen, this is really what the Giants in San Francisco need to do. And shortly after that, Larry Bear came to me and said, you know what? We're going to do it.
Wow.
And my joke is, the first time anybody from San Francisco thought somebody from San Jose had a good idea. But
exactly.
So they went ahead and did it. And, if they have one... I've had a lot of bad ideas in my life, but if that was a good idea, if that was the one good idea I had, that's great, because it definitely brought Willie McCovey back into prominence, equal with Willie Mays, which I think he deserved to be in San Francisco Giants history. And McCovey, great player, but a lot of his stuff was done in New York. Willie Mays' stuff all done in New York, or not all. A lot of, but he had a reputation before he came here as a great player and maybe the greatest player ever. But McCovey played his entire career with the San Francisco Giants, and probably, in my mind, was a more popular San Francisco Giant than Willie Mays. And so, in my mind, that's the perfect bookends. Willie Mays behind home plate, McCovey beyond right field there in that water, and they got a statue of him across the cove. And, it worked out great. So, back to Krug and Kipe, they were always supportive of that idea, which I always appreciated. Like before I'm sure I ran it by them, in 99. And they were very supportive of the idea and then would talk about it on the air, which was great for McCovey, for McCovey, not me, but for McCovey. And so I always appreciated that. So I'll go back and watch that, I guess, and maybe I will get misty because, you throw a lot of yourself out there. It's a great job. You throw a lot of yourself out there, and it's nice to know if people think you did an okay job.
Well, that was great that you had that kind of impact with McCovey Cove, and of course, many of your stories having an impact. Great career. Really appreciate everything that you've done for us here on the sportsvirus.com with the podcasting. But we look forward to talking to you again, and I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors past retirement from the Merc.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Yeah, it's great. To anybody who's listening, anybody who took 5 minutes to read even one of my columns over the years, I really appreciate it. That's a big honor when you think about it. Everything everybody can do with their day, so somebody takes 3, 4, 5 minutes to read what you have to say on a given day. That's pretty cool, and I'll never take that for granted. So, I'm gonna fade into the woodwork here. I'm not gonna, but Yeah, if there's some sort of historical thing you want to talk about sometime, fine. I'm going to look forward to not maybe having to read every box score every day and you know, delve into some of my other interests. But it's been a great ride, and I appreciate you, you know, letting me say that to any readers I have that are listening to this.
That's Mark Purdy, who recently retired from the Bay Area News Group. Join us again on Wednesday for another edition of Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.